rings, crash diets, condomless sex, crop tops, and corrupt corporations that lure all the gays in with their logo wrapped in a rainbow. What does all of this mean? Oh shit, it's June. Happy Pride Month. Ronnie Washburn here. And that moment we've been waiting for has finally fucking arrived. Bossy Power Bottom Wear is now officially live on RonnieWashburn.com. That's R-A-O-N-I Washburn.com for purchase. Bossy Power Bottom Wear, the gay lifestyle and clothing line that unapologetically describes what it means to live your best gay life and show others through your clothing that you bottom like a boss. Want to know more? Go to RonnieWashburn.com now. That's R-A-O-N-I Washburn.com and find out for yourself what it truly means to bottom like a boss with Bossy Power Bottom Wear. The following is brought to you by Bossy Power Bottom Productions. So I have a little secret to spill. It turns out that I'm actually, I can't believe I'm about to reveal this. I am actually seeing someone. That's right, folks. You didn't hear me wrong. I am currently in a new relationship. He is really sexy, really, really good in bed. And really, to be honest with you, out of all the relationships that I have been in my past, this one will just automatically top all of them, hands down, no questions asked. Wait, what? What's his name? All right, I guess I'll just reveal all of it. Allow me to introduce to you, the world, my current boyfriend, my gay expose podcast. It was that moment that I had been waiting for since I was just a little boy. And as I stood there in that moment and grabbed the hands and looked into the eye of my future husband and said, I do. Little did I know that it would just be a few years later that I would actually get out of the shower, wrap the towel around my waist, wipe the steam from the mirror, look myself in the eye in that mirror reflection, and say to myself, oh, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And as I walked out of that bathroom on that fateful day, walked into our shared bedroom, looked my husband in the eye once again and said, I think I'm done and I think I'm ready for a divorce. Little did I know that let's just try again. I thought I could just get back in, right? Like we all think that after a divorce. I think we all think that after a breakup. We all think that we can just start over and try again. But what happens is you actually end up moving to a city like San Francisco and realizing that the gay scene out here is just so hard to maneuver through because dating and monogamy is something that is really hard to define. And for that matter, being in an open relationship, being in a polyamorous relationship, and all of the blurred fine lines that are hookup culture, or are we dating, or are we not, or are we just fucking, or like, what are we actually doing here? Or I met you on Tinder. Why do you just only want to have sex with me? I met you on Grindr. Why do you suddenly only want to date me? There's just so much confusion in today's gay society in regards to relationships, what we seek, what we want, what we need for ourselves in our lives. So sit back, relax, put on that condom or pop your prep pill and let's ask the actual question. What is your definition of what it means to be in a relationship? And is it just as much of a mess as I just described? Because I kind of feel like that's what my definition is. And let's just move forward and I'll explain. are now listening to My Gay Exposé Podcast, a show that unperfectly describes what it's like when life has you fucked in the head while being fucked from behind. I'm Ronnie Washburn, a writer, LGBTQ plus community activist, self-proclaimed, messy, loudmouthed, and somewhat semi-passable podcast host, popper sommelier, porn star, fluffer in training, and local San Francisco bossy power bottom that just so happens to be on the left of you on your Grindr grid. And this is My Gay Exposé Podcast. Ronnie Washburn here, and welcome back to the show that actually is the one true love that you've been waiting for in your entire life, My Gay Exposé Podcast. And on this week's expose, I just want to warn each and every one of you, there's a whole hell of a lot that's going to happen this week that you're just going to have to keep up with. So just pay attention and just know there is a reason for all of this towards the tail end of the expose. You'll find out full circle. And we'll go into all of the reasons why all seven of my past serious relationships ended and why with each individual. And this week on the Your Gay Exposé segment, I reached out to a few of my specifically gay single friends and asked them what their goal is for their relationship status in their lives and why. And, you know, really just defining all of this bullshit that we call relationships, friendships, polyamorous relationships, open relationships, closed relationships, divorce, all of it. We're just going to hit every single one of those things and find out what is the right dynamic for you in your life. But first, before we actually swipe left and find a match, look over his profile and realize that he's probably your future ex-husband. First, let's hop into this week's re-expose. Welcome to this week's re-expose, the segment in which I take the time to reassess, re-examine, re-explain, restart over, or just re-say shit that I said in past episodes that either you didn't fully understand, I didn't fully understand, you came for me and I felt like I needed to readdress, or once I re-listened through for an edit, I was like, ugh. Oh, Jesus, fuck, God. What the fuck was I even trying to say there? Ugh, what a goddamn mess. That definitely merits a re-expose. Okay, so listen, we have three exposés that I have yet to do a re-expose on because, you know, I went off our regular everyday ritualistic routine structure in regards to, like, literally the structure of the show for the past 3 weeks. So we haven't had a re-expose in a while. So first I'd like to address the gay baby daddy episode, the expose in which I talked about what it's like to be a gay dad in today's society, while also simultaneously maneuvering through my slutty power bottom life. And I just have to say one big giant thank you to all of you, the listeners out there, for just like sending me all this, like, people were, like, so amazed that I actually talked about my son on the show for the, like, first time. I, like, did a full-blown dedication to my son, which I had never done in the show's history before. And I think people kind of appreciated that different spin to my life. And, you know, we don't always have to talk about asses and dicks on this show. There's a lot of different facets to my life that make up the Ronnie Washburn that you hear before you, but I got a lot of fun messages from some gay dads, actually, that joined in and just appreciated the expose on what it's like for me to be a gay baby daddy. So thank you so much. I appreciate all of the heartfelt and warm wishes on, you know, maneuvering through puberty and 16 and all of that fucking bullshit. But I wouldn't have it any other way. That little boy is the one thing that drives me and keeps my eye on the bigger prize. That being said, I did get a few messages from the episode after that. The Ronnie reacts to that expose about the Porphy Max dildo douche method that I talked about on the show, where I just so randomly happened to catch an Instagram live that Porphy Max, the porn star, did, where he talks about how he douches with a bulb and then sticks a giant dildo up his ass to basically check to make sure that he got everything out. And I sort of expressed my shock that, like, I didn't understand that or know that. And I had so many people chime in and say, like, how did you not know that? Like, most people do that. That's like, I got tons of messages expressing that exact sentiment. And I'm here to tell you, when I first heard this, I texted several of my friends asking them if they knew about this. And not one of them knew about, like, sticking a dildo up your ass to test out the waters, quote unquote, so to speak, in like making sure that you're basically going to sit on that hot jock top dick and pop off with a clean bill of health. None of them knew about it. And you guys, listen, I have some slutty ass friends. So the fact that this was lost on most of us, that we didn't know this, I guess I just assumed that the rest of the fucking world didn't know about it either, which is why I selected that topic to debut in the expose. But, like, apparently there are so many of you out there that already knew. And so for that, okay, message received. Apparently all of you are shoving dildos up your ass to ensure a clean bill of health. And then again, last week's expose, we talked about Bossy Power Bottom Productions, all the different facets involved, why I decided to start my own production company. And I'm so fucking excited about it. And, you know, people chimed in with various questions asking about it specifically, the ins and outs and the different details. But the one question I got the most was more information on the Positive in HIV project. And listen, at this moment, I'm like super busy with AIDS life cycle shit. You know, I don't have time to focus on that just yet, but that is on my calendar to get rolling the moment I get home. So as soon as I get back, probably like July-ish, give or take, I'm going to start working very hard on the Positive in HIV. So you'll have more information after that. Sorry, I can't provide more info, but I did get a few people who did reach out asking to be involved with the project. And you guys, I'm so fucking excited about this project. So when you get the opportunity, check out bossypowerbottom.com. Go to Instagram and follow The Positive in HIV, and you'll get all the information in real time. I'm so fucking excited about all this new shit. Bossy Power Bottom Productions is now live. It's a thing. Ugh, I am officially a businesswoman. And really quick before we segue into the rest of this week's expose, just one last thing. Please, please, please go to one of three websites. RonnieWashburn.com, that's R-A-O-N-I, Washburn.com, BossyPowerBottom.com, or MyGayExposePodcast.com, and click the merch tab, and there you'll find Bossy Power Bottom wear and select your next piece for your upcoming gay or pride event. We're about to be in June, so get your piece now before they sell out. There's actually a few pieces that are very close. There's one specifically, it's the prep pill blue, like the one that I talked about last week where it's my favorite color is prep pill blue for some fucking reason. That one is blowing my mind with the sales, you guys. It's just crazy to me that that is the one piece that's like I just added it like weeks ago, and the black t-shirt is already sold out temporarily. That's so crazy to me. You can still get the white one if you really want it. I could not believe my eyes when I saw that email telling me that the black t-shirt was like sold out already. So the rest of the collection's in danger of doing the same thing as we approach Pride season. So once again, RonnieWashburn.com. That's R-A-O-N-I, Washburn.com, MyGayExposePodcast.com, and BossyPowerBottom.com. just keep in mind, if you do the bossypowerbottom.com, you get that bonus hoodie of the Never Drinking Again exclusively on that website alone. So check it all out. You need it. Get it now. So before we get my gay expose, that just so happens to have a very, are we dating or are we fucking? I'm a little confused. Themed undertone. First, let's get your gay expose. And this week, instead of reaching out to you, the listeners, I reached out to a specific group of solely gay single friends of mine and ask them what their thoughts are on their specific relationship journey. What are their goals? What do they see for themselves in their futures? And what are their thoughts? So let's get some of those responses now. Michael says, as far as relationships are concerned, I've learned to just go with the flow and not put too much into committing right away until after I really just know a person, because I've wasted so much time with so many people finding out exactly who they are when it's far too late. Woo, girl, I hear you. Holy fuck, amen to that. Peter says, I mean, ideally, I'd love to settle down and grow old with someone, but every time I get into a serious relationship, it just keeps ending, whether it's that person or whether it's me. It ends up just creating something that I just don't want to revisit. And the older I get, the more I just don't want to commit. Matthew says, always single and ready to mingle. Girl, this is why we're actually fucking friends. York says, I haven't really even thought much about it since my breakup over a year and a half ago. I'm happy being single. I haven't really even thought about hooking up for that matter. Victor says, religion, becoming a nun and repenting. This bitch. Okay, so Victor is probably one of the biggest sluts that I know. So this is all complete and total bullshit. And honestly, the reason why we're friends is because of how he answered this question, because he knows that I know better. Oh, God. Kyle says, I think the end goal is to be with someone forever, right? Well, I don't see that happening for me anytime soon. Just pointless hookups and mind-altering relationship situations that end in tragedy. Brian says, I can't do monogamy. The only way to go is open relationships, because who wants to actually have sex with the exact same dick for the rest of your life? Spoken like a true San Franciscan. Keshev says, ideally, I see myself in a monogamous marriage and a white picket fence. The kids, the pets, to be honest, the heteronormative dream. It may be demonized by today's gay standards, but it's something I find comfort in and look forward to. Roberto says, I'm just gonna be a hoe. Jeffrey says, honestly, I don't really know what I want for my relationship in the future. I'm pretty open to exploring any type of relationships, whether it be multiple partners, whether it be open, whether it be monogamous. I really just want to find that person and whatever they want, as long as I'm in agreement or alignment with what they think, then that's all I want. Is that confusing? Well, girl, that can't really get any more confusing than all the rest of the bullshit that we're about to expose this week. Muck says, in the near future, it's more likely that I'll be enjoying this single life, but ideally a partner to grow my family is the goal. Walter says, I am not a single gay. Okay, Walter, I'm so calling you out on your fucking bullshit. So Walter is as single as they come, but somehow tells us pretty fucking regularly that he's with this guy that we've been hearing about for fucking like, you know, the last like 2 fucking years or some shit like that. But yet when I go down to stay with him for LA Pride weekend, I don't see any like any evidence of any sort of a relationship slash and or boyfriend. But okay, Walter, I guess apparently you are not a single gay and I'm not fucking buying it. But then, you guys, Walter chimes in once again and says as follows, after he insists that he's not a single gay. My ultimate goal is to be single, who only hooks up. Oh my God, this is why Walter and I are fucking friends. It's ass backwards. Bitch, I love you. Sergio says, that's complicated for me to answer. Can't talk beyond that. I just don't know. So, therefore, I won't discuss. And you guys, as much as I hate to say this, this is a very real and common answer amongst most big city dating gays. It's just a very real and common part of life. Like none of us know any of it. Are we hooking up? Are we dating? Do you just only want me for sex? Or do you actually want to start getting to know me as a person? Like there's just so much going on out there. Good luck to each of you on your specific fucked up journey. Abraham says, well, first he put as a single gay in quotations and then underneath put, I'm fucking dead, LOL. But he also continues along with the answer and says as follows, ideally, I want a long-term relationship, but also, oh God, I'm gonna sound stereotypical here. I have a wandering eye. Girl, you said it, and we're all thinking it too. Porter said, as long as I have my friendships, and as long as I can also have sex, then my life is fully fulfilled. And sometimes that includes sex with the friendships. Kevin says, every time I'm single, I just want so bad to be in a relationship. And every time I'm in a relationship, I want so bad to be single. This fucking bitch. You guys, I swear to God, the more answers I get from Kevin, the more I realize that I need him to be a fucking guest on this show because I'm dying at his responses, but you have to know who this person is to understand how fucking ridiculous his answers are. I can't with you. I can't. And as usual, all of these answers are just one big giant cluster fuck of really just all over the place. I mean, we've got the gays who are saying that they want the actual heteronormative white picket fences, marriage with puppies and kittens. We've got the Walters out there who are supposedly in a fucking relationship who are actually saying that they prefer to be single and hooking up all the time. We've got Kevin who says he'd rather be single when he's in a relationship and rather be in a relationship when he's single. And really, we've just got everybody who is on that constant quest to continuously look for what's next for them in their relationship journey. And really, I mean, there's all of us out there who have just embraced the fact that relationships can kind of be toxic and unhealthy. And is it better to actually just be single? Well, we're about to get to the bottom of this. Well, at least for me specifically in this week's My Gay Exposé that just so happens to have a really kind of confused when it comes to the area of relationships themed undertone. guys, listen, I wanted to take this quick time out to ask you for a huge favor. I need all of you right now in this moment to go over to Apple Podcasts and click 5 stars. This helps us in the podcast world out so much more than you will ever know. It actually gets us to that trajectory that we're actually already on our way to just a little bit faster, and it makes things start happening. I really just need your help. Please, if you wouldn't mind, just go to Apple Podcasts, click 5 stars. And if you don't want to click 5 stars, just, well, keep that click to yourself. But you can also rate 5 stars on Spotify too. So wherever you listen to your podcasts, please, I need your help. Click 5 stars and allow my gay expose podcast to get to that next best thing. So because I live in this world, or have lived in this world my entire fucking life, where most of my family members actually just either don't accept me, don't understand me, or just pretend that what I am as an individual is just not there and sweep that shit under the fucking rug, I think that that dynamic subconsciously has just fueled this notion or idea that because I'm not getting the support or the attention or love or whatever that I needed or whatever from my family, that I kind of just seek it out in men. And whether that be actual full-on fucking relationships or just my latest Grindr hookup where all I want is just to get a nice bang out, that's what I seek out in my regular everyday life. And does it always fulfill that little void that I feel like I'm trying to fill up in my life? No, it doesn't. And you guys, this is a struggle that I legitimately have been like struggling back and forth with my entire life, even in this current moment. As I sit here openly acknowledging that I really don't have any desire to be in a future relationship with anyone, and I'll explain what that means in just a moment, I still find myself on fucking Tinder swiping left and swiping right. I still find myself on dating apps and agreeing to go out on fucking dates. I still go through the motions of seeking out men, even if it's just for sex, because I continuously try to fill that void. Even though I openly acknowledge that that's unhealthy for me and maybe not something that I actually want, I sit here staring at a guy's profile on Tinder wondering, could this actually be because we just both matched? And after I've just sat here and explained that I don't really have any desire to be in any future relationships romantically, why am I still doing it? Well, I can't tell you. But I will say this, I am currently in a moment in my life where I think, at least for now, that I'm good. I don't need a boyfriend. I don't need a future ex-husband. I don't need to go through the motions of dating as much as I felt like I needed to, like maybe, you know, the last like fucking 7, 8, 9 years. And truth be told, the last relationship that I got in, I don't really even think I was looking for a relationship in that moment with that specific boyfriend. I think things just sort of came to fruition organically and just went the way that it was supposed to go. But really, to me, think about it from like the universe standpoint. I feel like relationships are actually just supposed to teach us what we need to know about ourselves. How we are in these said relationships are very fucking important in just figuring ourselves out in our lives. It is. I think that's what it's meant to be, at least for myself. And I'd like to be devil's advocate here and say that I think that that maybe is what it is for you too. So we've all go through it, you guys. Like, listen, we all know that like we're supposed to find someone. We're supposed to get married. We're supposed to settle down and, you know, create a life together and have that happily ever after. But that fucking shit doesn't always work out. And here are just a few examples of my own personal experience of relationships that did not work out. First up, we've got Scott, who was my first actual serious relationship
And truth be told, I think we kind of went from 0 to 60 because, like, we met, we started hanging out, and then the next thing I knew, he was, like, living with me, which was a really big mistake in itself. But what I ultimately ended things with Scott was I realized, because my son was at a very young and, like, newly developmental age at the time, that Scott was just a big fucking child himself. And I already had a child. I didn't need to raise two. And it was only a matter of fucking time before Scott and I were just no more. It was a pretty bad breakup. I ended up saying and doing a lot of things to end that relationship that I sort of regret. But I was in my early 20s and, you know, you live and you learn. And again, this is one of those relationships that I learned from that I felt like it was like sort of, you know, I was newly out and it was really the first guy that paid any sort of attention to me in regards to like wanting some kind of a relationship. And so I just went in without even really knowing who he was and moving him in. And the result was like really an eye-opening moment for me, understanding that this was a type of person that I am most definitely not supposed to be with. And Scott and I just ended after just a year and a half, I believe. And, you know, exposing my son to someone at that early of an age is something I kind of regret, because the last thing I wanted to do was bring all these men in and out of my son's life. But what I actually did was bring all these men in and out of my son's life. Oh, Jesus. Again, we live and we learn. But it wasn't even like 2 weeks, you guys, that I broke things off with Scott, that I was like legitimately in the parking lot of the same apartment that Scott was still living in at the time, because he had yet to move out, even though we were breaking up, making out with Peter in his car before I went home for the evening. Now, Peter was a very toxic relationship, and I didn't know that at the time, because at the beginning, he was very charming, and he was very direct and very forward and very much the opposite of Scott. And so something about that really just enticed me. But what ended up happening is, you know, he ended up moving in too. And after 8 short months, I found like one of the most aggressive and awful breakups of all time was taking place once again right in front of my son. And I was filled with all sorts of regret and moments where I wondered why I even moved so quickly with moving in and having what I thought would be a good relationship, but really just ended up being part of the Peter show, where he just wanted to show people that he had a boyfriend, where I was basically like his arm piece for his little social gatherings. And that was just really not part of what I wanted in my life. And so for that moment, I realized that the very overly social, blunt, and direct type of person such as Peter really just was not for me, and that was it. We were done. It was the end. Next up, again, was only a matter of weeks before I just went over to his place to hook up with him. And what ended up happening is he was putting on the moves, like not just in the bedroom, but really just outside of the bedroom as well. And I think he was really into me. And for whatever reason, he was really like coming at me full force in regards to wanting something more than just sex and wanting to like potentially visit the idea of being in a fucking relationship and being more. And so I fucking fell for it, because after all, the sex was really fucking good. And this is the boyfriend known as E. But you guys, what I ended up learning about E, because once again, I moved at the speed of light, was that he was really just kind of boring. He really was boring, and it just wasn't for me. I was learning that my big personality was kind of starting to shine. I was finally getting in a moment where I was fully embracing myself as a gay individual and expressing myself in that way, and he was just really kind of just getting in the way with all of his, like, boring stuff. And I'm not trying to be a dick or be rude, but it was really very that. He was just very boring. So that ended too. Actually, with this one, I ended up like cheating on him unintentionally. I know that's kind of a hard, like, dynamic to, like, understand if you're cheating on somebody unintentionally. But really, like, you know, listen, again, in my 20s, trying to maneuver through that journey, I get it. But, like, with E, he was just so boring. I think I was just, I was enticed by meeting other people. And I met this other guy who ended up being my next boyfriend through a mutual group of friends. And we ended up hitting it off. And his name was Alan. And Alan was so exciting. He was the exact opposite of E. He had that spontaneous personality where he would just be at my house sitting on the couch and say, let's just drive to Reno and spend the night and hang out. Let's just drive to Tahoe and spend the night and hang out. And let's just go to San Francisco for the weekend and spend the night and hang out. Like, he wanted to do things and it was fun. I was into his personality. It was going really well. But Alan had a best friend. And this best friend was super fucking jealous of the fact that I was actually taking Alan's attention away from him. And he really just kind of created this really toxic environment. And that actual relationship really just ended really kind of bad and dramatic as well. And I realized that maybe the exciting personality, the fun, spontaneous individual, maybe that just wasn't for me either. So to get my mind off that tragic breakup, I hit up my friend Justin, who lived in San Francisco, because again, I was living in Sacramento at the time, and said, hey, I just broke up with my boyfriend. I really just need to get away. Can I just come stay with you for the weekend just to clear my mind and distract myself with something else besides Sacramento, for fuck's sake? And of course, he was very welcoming. And so I did just that. And of course, as you would probably do if you were in my place, you find yourself like opening your Grindr and going into a new city and just finding yourself being the new meat and just having all of these guys blowing you up, wanting to talk to you, wanting to hook up with you, all of it, all of the attention kind of felt really good in that moment. And for the first time, I sort of felt like, because all of these boys leading up to this moment, I had just literally gone from one right into the next. My friends had actually dubbed me the relationship whore because I wasn't being really kind of a whore outside and like hooking up with guys. I was really being a relationship whore and just jumping from one guy right back into the next. And I know all of you therapists out there are saying that that's a very unhealthy dynamic. But again, I think this is going back to me trying to fill that void that most of my family just didn't fill. And I was just trying to get the first person who batted their eyes and showed me any sort of affection or attention and giving them all of me. Ugh, and this was just not the dynamic I needed. And I was starting to realize this on this specific weekend as each one of these guys continued to blow up my phone on Grindr, like having a different agenda and just most of them just wanting to hook up and some of them wanting to exchange phone numbers. And it just, I was reveling in that moment where I was getting all of this attention and it felt so fucking good. But as usual, and as the weekend continued to progress, and as I continued to hang out with my friend, all of these guys who were constantly messaging me nonstop started to taper off one by one. And there was one specific guy that had messaged me a few times and seemed really nice and really kind and didn't really have like a hookup agenda. And I think because everyone else just seemed so into hooking up, I was a little bit more intrigued by that, even though I didn't technically feel like I was ready to just start hooking up randomly just yet because of the breakup. I still was just a little bit more enticed by their personalities, or so it seemed. And this one guy who didn't really have the hookup agenda just sort of, I have to admit, I kind of forgot about. Well, the day that I was ending my trip there and getting my shit together and walking out to my car to throw everything back in and heading back to Sacramento, this guy just so happened to hit me up when all the other guys just continued to like die off one by one by one, or I would lose interest in others that continued to hit me up and I would ignore. This one guy asked me to go to a bar and meet him for a drink. And I explained very politely that I'm sorry, I can't go. I have to get home. I have to pick up my son. I have to get ready for the week for school, blah, blah, blah. And I just, maybe next time when I come up, we can meet. And as I typed out those words via text, I knew full well that if I walked into that car, put my seatbelt on, turned the keys, and headed for home, that I would never hear from that guy ever again. So as I got into that car, put my seatbelt on, turned the keys, and started to segue out of the parking lot to head for home, like a flash of light, I just said to myself, what are you doing? What do you have to lose? You know that your son can spend the night at his mom's. You know that you can go meet this guy, even if it's just for like an hour. What do you actually have to lose? And I honestly, you guys, I can't explain that moment. The only thing that I can explain was that it was fate, because that guy just so happened to be my future ex-husband. And while it was not intended to be that, the moment that I met him and the moment that I ended up spending the night at his house and the moment that I actually had like two or three actual hot sex sessions just in that one specific visit. And we started to date like apart, me being in Sacramento and him living in San Francisco, and continuing to develop our relationship. And as I stood there in that moment that I disclosed in that opening story and grabbed his hands, looked into his eye and said, I do, I finally felt like after so many failed attempts at relationships, this guy was the guy. I had finally found that moment that I had dreamed about when I was just a little boy. But it also ended in divorce. Because it kind of turns out I didn't really know this guy either. And while he was so amazing at the beginning, and really, to be honest, looking back now that I sit here in this moment, he is a really great person. But the way the dynamic of our relationship worked out, I felt like he was just a lot more focused on himself and not our relationship. And it just really wasn't working out for me. And there were a lot of other factors involved that I won't go into, but that was really the underlying premise of the reasons why we ended up getting a divorce. And after that, once again, hopped right back into the next relationship of Braden, who ended up being a very great, fulfilling, and rewarding relationship. And my first one living in San Francisco, because after all, my ex-husband, I feel that's why we were supposed to meet, was because eventually he would bring me to San Francisco and I would fall head over heels in love with this beautiful city of San Francisco. And dating here, you guys, it's so different. I wasn't hopping into these serious relationships one by one. After Braden broke things off with me 1 year after our relationship was, you know, confirmed to be together, I found myself on a 2.5-year long single journey where I did nothing but hook up with guys and really was just a hoe and not a relationship whore like I was once before. Now, I was just being a whore and just literally jumping from dick to dick to dick to dick, living it up and having the time of my best fucking single life ever. And it was amazing. And 2.5 years later, after like all of the dicks started to get a little monotonous and empty and really just meaningless, I started to wonder if maybe I was getting a little bit rusty in the relationship department. And maybe it was time to start maybe opening the idea of potentially moving forward with someone. And that's when I met Robert unexpectedly, and also unexpectedly, not meaning for us to get together, but somehow organically, as I stated before, we ended up getting together and spending the last 2.5 years together, getting through COVID together, doing all of that shit. But I realized that in that moment that Robert was just not the guy for me. And we broke things off legitimately just shy of almost a year. And here I am in this moment, almost 1 year single, still mingling as much as I can here and there. And just kind of in a place now where I think I'm sort of done with all of it. You guys, relationships in San Francisco are so crazy. There's so many different like definitions and variations and exclusivity. And as I've stated so many times on this show, Robert and I were open. That was my first open relationship experience. And it really just sort of opened my mind to all the different types of relationships that you can have in your life, especially in a city such as San Francisco, where it is so hard to meet people that you click with and you're attracted to and you really want to have a relationship with. It's just so, there's just so many things. And again, that dynamic of all the blurred fine lines of hookup culture just bleeding in to what it means to date and be with guys in San Francisco just really was so to a place that you just couldn't put a definition on any of it. You just found yourself with a big question mark over your head, swiping left and right on Tinder, finding guys, going on dates, wondering if they just want to get into your pants or if they just want to go on a second date, wondering if they just want to fuck you or if they actually want to date you. And all the confusion and frustration and all of that bullshit that comes along with it just got to a place where it just became this toxic clusterfuck of all of these emotions of wondering if you're accepted, wondering if you're not accepted, just wondering what it is about San Francisco specifically and the dating scene in gay culture that is just so hard to maneuver through. Like, and all of the insecurities that you thought you had laid to rest when it comes to dating that just fuck you up in your head. And listen, I'm a very social butterfly and I have so many single gay friends in San Francisco who attest to everything that I'm exposing to all of you right now in this moment. And just what do we do with relationships? How do we figure out what it is that we want for ourselves? Do we want to be with someone and be monogamous? Do we want to get married again one day? Do we want to be in an open relationship with someone? Do we just want to be single and fuck everything that walks by? Do we want to actually find that happily ever after once again? Do we want to actually be in a polyamorous relationship because you don't think that you can be with just one person? Or do you want to be in a polyamorous relationship where you are all three together, or even four or five or six or whatever the fuck? Like, what are all of these things in gay society that we call relationships? And why do we all like legitimately bend over backwards to create that as our future and as what we want most in this world? So I'm here to tell you that I know that this expose was really just one giant clusterfuck of really just all over the place, but that's really how I feel like relationships in today's gay society are. Like all the different definitions and blurred fine lines and all the things that we just don't understand about them, just take a step back and work on yourself before you actually work towards a relationship. Because most of the mistakes that I made and all seven of these guys that I accounted for and all of these past relationships on this week's expose are really just me trying to work towards a relationship and not trying to work on myself. And working on yourself and discovering yourself and being the best version of yourself is the only way that you're ever going to have a successful relationship moving forward. Woo! I mean, I need a fucking drink after all of that shit. But you guys, I just want to expose all of this to you, because if you're gay and if you're out there and you're dating and you're trying your very best to find your happily ever after, you just can't find it anywhere. And you're just so frustrated and wondering if it's you, if it's them. Like, what is the scenario? What's the situation? Why can't you find this? Just focus on yourself, figure yourself out, and then create a podcast. Be put into the public eye, and then understand that the dynamic of you finding a relationship just got that much harder. And really, the only relationship that you need is your show, because that's working for me right now. Listen, I have so many valuable relationships in my life, friendship-wise, non-romantic, that really just fulfill and feed that void that I feel like I'm missing. My chosen family, my close circle of friends are my companions in life. And also, I know that I can just go get dick whenever I want. So I'm going to be sexually satisfied for probably the rest of my life as well. So on that note, do I really even need a relationship for companionship and sex? Or do I need to go through this clusterfuck and continue to go down a rabbit hole even further to see if I can find maybe that guy that's out there waiting for me to get married and then potentially get divorced once again. So what's right for you? What will you do for your future? And what's the best decision that you could make for yourself? Because making that decision for yourself is the only thing that's going to create a successful, lasting relationship. So thanks for joining me on this somewhat misguided clusterfuck of a TED Talk journey. You guys, honestly, seriously, just figure your shit out and everything else will fall into play the way that it's supposed to go. Don't seek out a marriage because you think that's what you're supposed to do, only to find it ending in divorce. The best relationship that you could ever have in your life is with yourself or your show. So what do we learn today, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, gays and straights, tops or bossy power, bottoms, gender fluid and non-binary, bisexuals and lesbians, transgender and questioning? Well, I'd like to think we learned a whole hell of a lot. Listen, at any rate, what I would like for all of you to know that in my vast years of being a whore slash a relationship whore or whatever, I have taken so much value and I have learned so much from every single one of my serious relationships with all of these boyfriends and husbands and whatever. I mean, I have learned so much about myself. And, you know, you always may not know it in the moment of that, you know, when you're in that moment of breaking up with someone and you feel all sorts of devastation, but you can just rest assured at some point you will finally realize all the things that you knew potentially weren't working in that relationship. So I actually encourage you to take away a little bit of what you've learned from each of your relationships and try to implement that into all of your future relationships, whether you be a whore or just a relationship whore. But I just want to hear from you, the listeners, like, what the fuck do you think? What's the one thing that you've learned from your breakups that have helped you like jump into the next? Give me a call at the official My Gay Exposé podcast hotline at 415-501-0401. That's 415-501-0401. Call in, leave a message, and tell me all about it. Oh, God. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Click 5 stars. Follow on Spotify, and don't forget to turn on those notifications so that you can catch wind of each and every episode of My Gay Exposé podcast right when it drops. Follow on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Exposing My Gay. And don't forget to check out the official show website, MyGayExposePodcast.com. And there you'll find any information that you need to know in regards to the show. And don't forget to check out the latest piece of the My Gay Exposé podcast family, the official show merch line, Bossy Power Bottom Wear, at RonnieWashburn.com. That's R-A-O-N-I, Washburn.com. And pick out your next piece for your upcoming gay or pride event. And don't forget to join us next week for another messy, salacious, and relatable episode with me, Exposing My Gay. I'm Ronnie Washburn, and I will be a whore, but also be a little bit of a relationship whore with all of you next time.
week's expose has been brought to you by Bossy Power Bottom Productions. Want to know more? Go to bossypowerbottom.com and find out for yourself what it truly means to bottom like a boss with Bossy Power Bottom Productions.